Welcome to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast, where every week, Kirsten and Jeannie dive into the essential topics to fuel your business growth. From copywriting to course creation, mindset to video marketing, they've got you covered. Tune in for expert guest interviews on all things marketing and business, and learn how to work on your business, not just in it. So, get ready to unlock your business potential and take it to the next level.
Welcome to today's episode. After 25 years in digital marketing, our next guest is a UK agency owner, and he's going to break down the biggest mistakes that new business owners make and what it really takes to build a business that works. Happy to introduce you to Jim Banks from Spades Media. Thanks for joining us.
Today's episode is sponsored by our Profit Clarity Masterclass, and we'll just keep this real. If tax season brings you anxiety, last-minute scrambling, or that pit in your stomach feeling, it's usually not because you're doing something wrong. It's because you don't have the right system or support. We have a free live masterclass coming up where we're going to talk about how to get organized, reduce stress, and feel more confident about your finances without doing most of the work yourself. So come join us. You can sign up free at lessmathmoremoney.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you so much for inviting me to come along and talk to you and your amazing audience today.
Thanks, Jim. We are really excited to learn more about you and about your business and what took you into helping business owners with advertising. I'm excited about this conversation today.
I'm really excited to come and talk as well. Yeah, 25 years of, I guess, making mistakes and learning from those mistakes. I feel I've got a lot to help and share with other entrepreneurs, either just starting out, thinking of starting out, right? Because we all have to start somewhere. And sometimes having people that can share the scars and the war stories can be a good thing.
Digital marketing has changed a little bit over 25 years, wouldn't you say?
And it's funny, I was reading somewhere the other day that they were saying that ChatGPT and LLMs are basically 17 times more dangerous than the dot-com crash that happened in 2000. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty bad, because I remember the sort of the initial kind of dot-com boom and bust that happened in 2000. And funny enough, that was my sort of segue into setting up my own business, because I'd worked for three other companies and I'd been laid off three times. And I just thought, you know what? I don't want to be in a position where somebody else can have control over my destiny anymore. So I set up my own business and I just thought to myself, what do I do now? And I know most people that have set up businesses, that's typically what the catalyst for them is. They aspire to do their own thing. They think it's easy, right? I've employed a lot of people and they all go, oh, I could run my own business. And I'm like, carry on, you go and do it. And I think like later on, they realize just how difficult some of the challenges of setting up can be.
When you first got started, what services were you offering in your business?
I can even remember the name of the company. I don't think the company exists anymore. It was a company called Kulpunya Opals. It was a guy, I guess, for want of a better way, but he's probably a drop shipper. And I was offering him SEO services. And I think my initial contract with this guy was something like $50 a month. I was running around the house really excited. And my wife said, $50 isn't really going to last very long. We're going to need a lot of clients in order for us to do that. So initially I started off doing SEO, and then I realized that technically it wasn't quite my bag. And at the time, the onset of paid media or PPC, pay-per-click, so a lot of people would associate that with Google Ads and Microsoft advertising, that had just started. So I was using that to try and generate leads for my SEO business. And then I realized that actually that was a lot more fun, enjoyable than the actual doing SEO. So I pivoted and started to offer PPC as a service for clients who needed help with it. And it's funny, like back then there was no YouTube, there were no videos that you could go and learn what to do. There were hardly any communities that existed. I think in total, there were probably 1,000 people in the whole world that were involved in digital marketing. When you look at how many people are involved in it now, it's probably tens of millions of people that do digital marketing in one way, shape, or form for a living.
We're grateful for people like you who understand how to do ads and do them well, because that is not our forte.
Yeah, and it's funny. I always say to people, as good as I am at running paid ads, I don't want to be buying paid ads. If I can avoid having to buy them, then let's avoid them, right? But what it does enable you to do is it enables you to test much quicker than you're able to if you don't run paid ads. If you're trying to do it organically, you could wait 6, 9, 12 months before you get any sort of results at all. And it's very difficult to pivot if the results are not quite what you're expecting them to be. Whereas with paid ads, you can fire them up pretty quickly, test them for a little while, and then if they work, great, carry on, scale them. If they don't work, then try something different and go in a different direction.
Yeah, I'm so glad we met you and have a resource, because we have a lot of clients who are interested in ads. And again, we love referring people like you, because it's just not something we do. And I think a lot of people have a misnomer about ads. I don't think they always realize that in order to test something, you do have to have a fair amount of money up front. You're not testing something for $100. And so when you're coaching someone on running ads, what do you usually recommend that their ad spend is?
Yeah, I mean, it can be expensive, certainly in a lot of competitive environments, right? But what you have to bear in mind is like that whole sort of analogy of if you're running away from a bear, you only need to be kind of faster than the person that you're against rather than taking on the big bear itself. So I've always maintained that in most cases, the competitors that you'll be up against will include huge businesses, but also be an awful lot of small businesses. And that's primarily what you need to try and be better than, right? So just try and understand what they're doing and be better than them rather than trying to be better than eBay or Amazon or some huge Target or whoever, right? You'll never compete with them when it comes to how much money you've got to spend versus what they've got to spend. And I've always maintained that whatever it is that you're trying to, again, if you're selling product, I usually recommend that you want to try and have a budget that's probably something like 10 times whatever it's going to cost the value of the product as a budget to test on advertising. But be prepared. You need to be prepared to lose all of the money that you're spending on advertising initially just to get some data. And I think more importantly, before anyone spends any money on data, right, I always maintain that you need to get your analytics and tracking set up in the back end, right, so that you can understand what people did when they came through, right? Because paid media is not a magic wand, right? You need to have a good website, a good proposition, whether it's a lead magnet or you're selling services. What is it you want people to do? And I think the biggest mistake I see business owners make is they're trying to sell too many things at the same time. So they have a landing page that's got 12 different things that people can do. Yeah. And it's much better to just expect them to do one thing. And even if you're selling a big ticket item, you're not selling that big ticket item. What you're doing is initially just selling the initial kind of consultation, whether it's 15 minutes, 30 minutes. Right. That's what you're trying to get people over the line for.
What I find really challenging about ads too is it's not just the ad and the copy or the video or whatever. You also have to have a landing page that's effective as well, because you know you can get all the traffic you want to go to the page, but then if the page isn't converting, that's a problem too. Do you see that with businesses?
Yeah, I mean, certainly what you tend to find is that in some of the clients that I've worked with, they have a SEO team and they have a PPC team, and they're always in kind of conflict with each other, right? Because SEO wants the page to be full of stuff, and PPC people like me want the page to be stripped away of everything other than what it is you want them to do. I'm not saying that you don't want to have the ability to be able to build a relationship with prospective clients, right? So yes, you want to be able to offer, here's a link to our Facebook, here's a link to our LinkedIn, here's a link to our all the social profiles. But if you've paid money to get them to your website in the first place, what you don't want to do is leak it away to somewhere else, because people will just be, they'll be gone. They'll not come back. So for me, I always make sure if there's a navigation at the top, I say, let's strip all of that away. If there's a login for existing customers, strip that away, because I'm only targeting people that are not existing customers. So I will strip down a landing page so that there's very little on it other than the bare minimum that I need to get them to do what it is that I want them to do.
Does that
make sense? I just think you want to try and eliminate the leakage as best you can.
Absolutely. When you're working with someone who's just getting started, I know you like to help them figure out how to be successful from the start. What do you feel like are some of the biggest struggles and challenges of people that are just getting started with their businesses?
Yeah, I think, again, I know I made this mistake when I first started out. I'd be like, I'll work with anyone. And the reality of it is as soon as you start working with anyone, you realize that some of those anyones are not the sort of people that you want to be working with for various reasons. And I think one of the most important things any business owner can do is to define their ideal client prospect, right? But be very specific about the types of businesses that you want to work with. And then from there, all of your content should talk to that audience, right? Imagine that you've written it for one person, right? And I've done this before. You grab a stock image of what that person looks like. So when you're actually trying to pitch to somebody, you can actually visualize that person in front of you, you know, everything about them, whether they're married, how many kids they have, where they live, what sort of cars they drive. Again, it sounds corny. You need to visualize and what are the problems that your solutions solve for them, right? But rather than it being all of the problems, like what's the biggest problem? Because a lot of the times what I found is that a lot of the prospective clients that I talk to, they don't realize they've got the problem that I present to them at the time that I talk to them, because they're oblivious to it. They don't realize just how difficult things are. And I think for me, having that ability to be able to kind of position things in that way. But it's important that, like I said, you want to try and be very specific about the ideal client prospect, right? So in my case, it's I work with businesses that are running on Shopify, right, that are currently doing between $1 and $5 million a year in revenue, looking to grow to between $5 and $50 million. That's my sort of sweet spot. That doesn't mean that I don't work with people outside of that, right? I do a lot of clients where they're not in that sort of ecosystem, but I have control. I almost have the ability to pass on business. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges that I see a lot of business owners make is they don't decline business, which seems counterintuitive. If it's not a good fit for you, then you're setting yourself up to fail. If you've got a big enterprise client prospect that approaches you and you're not geared up for it, all you're going to do is you're going to let them down and you'll let yourself down because you'll spend a lot of time chasing after a contract that's too big for you and just won't be worthwhile for you. You'll get sucked into all these big meetings and everything else, and it'll drain the life out of you. But some people thrive on that. That's their ICP. They want to work with Fortune 500 companies and everything else. And great, if you do, knock yourself out. That's not for me. That's not my cup of tea, really.
It's funny, Jim, because I feel like Jeannie and I have gotten even more clarity after many years of business this year because we brought on a VP of sales and we have another salesperson that came on with us. And being able to say, because we work with coaches and consultants, but we also work with real estate agents, right? But what we realized was what they all have in common and who our ideal client really is that solopreneur, that person who it's just them and they're wearing all the hats and trying to do all the things. And they've heard about outsourcing. They know they need help, but they either don't know how or they're so far in the weeds, they can't come up for air to even think about it. So they really need that support of getting that person up and running quickly. And really, I think when we dialed in and just said, really, it's that solo business owner. It's that person who often is overcharged. Everybody's trying to sell them something, often things that they don't need at that time. You know, that's the person that we really want to help get that support that can take them to the next level. And it's funny because I think with our fantastic VP of marketing, he came from Fortune 100 companies. That was who he sold to. So it was really funny because when we first met him, he said, oh, well, I mostly was with Fortune 500 companies, sold to Fortune 500 companies. And they said, to be honest, it was really more like Fortune 100 companies. And I said, okay, take that and flip it upside down because you're going to be working with the absolute opposite of that. You're working with that one person, that business owner that, you know, primarily it's just them. And yeah. So that really helped us, I think, a lot with our verbiage and how we're thinking about how we communicate with people. But it is hard. And I think for those of you that are listening, I can't speak for Jim, but I can speak for Jeannie and I. It takes time and it evolves a little bit. Do you agree with that, Jim? Is that what you found with yourself and your clients?
Absolutely, yeah. Like I said, I've reinvented the proposition multiple times. And again, I think part of it is because the ecosystem has evolved, right? Again, if you look at what's going on at the moment, the onset of like artificial intelligence, Facebook and Google are probably two of the biggest platforms that most people will go to seek help from when it comes to advertising. And I think Mark Zuckerberg has gone on record saying he wants to get to the point where the only thing you have to do is to go, here's my credit card, charge it whatever you like, and let us do all the ads for you. So I'm looking at it, and I know a lot of people who are running agencies that do advertising be like, well, I'm basically going to be out of work. And I think the reality of it is there's more, even more need for agencies now to understand some of those nuances, because Mark Zuckerberg might have a great proposition for elements to happen within the Facebook ecosystem. Mm-hmm. But as we know, most people's journeys to find a solution provider can take in multiple places. It could include Pinterest or Reddit or Quora or Facebook or Google or Microsoft. So many different places that they can go to get information. And in some respects, I see the role of an agency now. I'm almost like a conductor, right? I'm there to conduct the orchestra because I've got all of this resource available. And each client that I have will have a different requirement, which then presents a different solution provider that would be the best sort of outcome for them, right? And I think understanding sort of that ecosystem is really important. I think a lot of people, I'm a bit wary. There's a lot of agencies here. We're just a Facebook ads agency or a Google ads agency. And I'm like, when people leave the reservation, what do you do then? Once they've gone to a different platform, what happens then? It's nothing to do with us, right? And I'm like, surely it should be everything to do with you because you want, I always say that your prospects move through a process, right? So you'll get to the point where they become a suspect, then they become a prospect, right? Then they become a marketing qualified lead, then they become a sales qualified lead, right? Then you produce a proposal, right? Then you try and close them. You either get a closed lost or a closed one. And that sort of funnel, that journey that people go through, right? The messaging should be different depending on what stage in the journey they've got to. And I'm always amazed how people just go for the kill. They either get it or they don't get it. If they don't get it, they walk away from it and say, okay, I didn't get it. And sometimes the biggest mistake that people make is they don't understand the decision-making process within the organizations that they're talking to. To your point about the solopreneurs, I like working with solopreneurs because, one, they're the decision maker, right? Ultimately, they're the person that can say, yes, I want to go ahead with this or I don't. And some of the clients that I've got, I started working with them when they were just on their own, right? And we've grown together, right? I've grown their business, right? They've trusted me, I've trusted them. We've grown together. And because of that, they now pay me a lot more money than they did initially, right? But at the same time, they understand the value that we bring to the table and that it's scalable, right? That's what you want really your resource to do. You want to be able to have propositions that will scale over time.
I love how you explained the suspect, the prospect. I think a lot of people just think prospect, lead, sale. There's so many more phases. And I think it's amazing how you're talking about your messaging and your, whether it's your ads or your landing page, needs to be in alignment with where you're meeting that person in their journey.
Yeah, I guess because I came from an old school direct sales background, I used to sell insurance for a living. And it was almost one of those things, if I had a goal in mind that I needed to close, let's say I needed to close 4 bits of business every week, I needed to speak to a certain number of people every week in order to get those appointments, right? And on that basis, I needed to do a certain amount of marketing, which could include knocking on doors, it could include dropping leaflets, making phone calls, right? But I knew if I didn't do the first bit, that the last bit would be the bit that would suffer. And I think that's the kind of challenge with small business owners now, right, is they have a capacity. And so I think sometimes the capacity problem is they have not enough capacity and sometimes they have too much. And I think it's almost like Goldilocks. You got to just try and get it just because, again, I don't know about you ladies, I'm getting swamped with kind of emails from people on LinkedIn saying, I could fill your inbox with 30 new leads a week. And I'm like, I don't want 30 new leads a week. I don't want any new leads a week. But it's, again, if you are working on the basis, let's say you've got the capacity for 2 new pieces of business every month, right? Then it's like, what do I need to do at the front end to bring those 2 in at the back end? And if you don't do the work at the front end, that's the only bit that you can control, really. The only thing you have in your capabilities is the control element of the actual output of the front end. What happens at the back end, that's down to your selling skills and everything else. And again, when you're a solo business owner, you have to be skillful at everything, right? You have to be skillful at marketing and selling and finance and operations and everything, right? Yeah. Although I know from talking to Kirsten on my podcast, you guys do a lot of support with the ecosystem that happens behind the scenes with virtual assistants and things like that, which I think is a genius way of handling kind of business growth.
Thank you. Yeah, if we can free people up for doing things like their bookkeeping, like that's generally not the best use of your time, right? So if we can free them up on certain things that they're spending their time on, then hopefully that gives them more time to think about their customer journey, to really dial in their messaging. Like you said, to do more stuff on the front end so that they can start getting to those conversations and making those sales. I think you and I probably spoke about this on your podcast. As human beings, sometimes we'll do the things we know we shouldn't be doing because it's safer than getting rejected. It's safer than having that conversation. And that's what we want to help our clients do, is to realize that you delegate these other things so you have the support that you need. And I was surprised to see how many people, their confidence went up when they started delegating, even if it was just a few hours a month, like their bookkeeping. But to see their confidence go up, and that empowers them to want to do more of the hard stuff. I love what you're doing and I love your philosophy. I know you and I really hit it off when I was on your podcast. And so if you could give like a small business owner, like one piece of advice, something you wish someone had told you back in the day that would really help you with your journey, and not necessarily a strategy, but it could have been something that you dealt with emotionally. Like, what are you, looking back on your journey, what do you feel like you struggled that you wish somebody had supported you with early on?
Yeah, I think probably one of the biggest mistakes was I thought I was the only person that could do all of the things that I did. And it wasn't until I started hiring people that I realized that I was probably the worst person to do some of the things that I was doing. You mentioned about delegating. I think some people kind of view delegation and abdication the same thing, right? I want to make sure if I'm delegating something, it's because my time is best utilized doing other things that are better suited to my skill set, right? That doesn't mean I can't do the things that I'm delegating, but it's just more of a, I can add more value to the business by focusing on the things that I'm good at and only I can do. And sometimes that's building the relationships with clients. If you have Filipino VAs, you can't really get them to build the sort of relationship that I build with the clients I work with, But at the same time, they're an important and an integral part of the success mechanism, right? You need to have people behind you to deliver the work, right? Otherwise, you're going to be failing to deliver what is expected of you, right? And I think the most important thing is have a good support network behind you, right? Whether that's coaches, trainers, ladies like yourself, to a back office kind of ecosystem, help support you and share with your family and your friends and also communities that you become part of, right? Share the ideas of what you're working on. Again, don't feel that you're in this on your own, right? Even though you are technically on your own, you're never on your own. There's so many communities out there where you can go and get support and help and guidance of things that may be getting in the way of you actually moving things forward in the way that you want to.
You are so right, Jim. And I can totally appreciate the part where you were talking about how we think we are the only ones who can do things. And you outsource to someone and yeah, they might not do it exactly the way you did it, but I oftentimes found they do it better than I did, which is really fun.
Yeah, I use something, it's called an EDIC, right? So it's explain, demonstrate, imitate, consolidate. So I explain what the task is, right? Demonstrate the task being done, right? I want them to effectively do the task while I watch, and then they consolidate. And as you say, like sometimes I will have a written down SOP, the way I do certain things that over time should have evolved but haven't. And sometimes the resource that I have can go, Jim, there's a better way of doing that now. Why don't we do it this way? And I'm like, great, let's do it that way and let's rewrite the SOP so that if we have to train somebody else coming into the business, that we've got a more up-to-date and accurate sort of SOP of what that process actually looks like. So.
Yeah, one of the things that Jeannie and I talk about too is not just with outsourcing, but hiring someone like you. If you want to run ads, rather than spending all of this time trying to learn all the things, which there's a lot, right? There's a lot that goes into it. Reach out to someone, that ask for a referral to someone that other people like and trust. In this case, we'd highly recommend you. But being confident to hire people that can help you in your business with things like ads, or I always like to use the example of an auto mechanic. I can't fix my car, but I can hire an auto mechanic who can. And there's some things in our businesses that it makes more sense to find a professional like yourself and hire them. You'll get a lot further, a lot faster. And even though it might seem more costly at the beginning, I can assure you it's going to be more cost effective in the long run. Because Jeannie and I learned that ourselves, trying to run our own ads back in the day, the level of frustration that we had, and we always joke when we have to write sales copy, we bicker like six-year-olds. So the bickering and then the trying to run the ads and then the landing pages not working, just constantly. In the past, we've had to hire other people to run ads for us. It's gone much better. It was way more cost effective, not just with money, but time and energy and stress.
Yeah, I've quite often, if I get to the point where I'm presenting a proposal, people say, that's expensive. And I always go, compared to what? But equally, I always say, I'd much rather they focused on what they're getting rather than what I'm getting. Because what they're getting is my 25 years of expertise. I've made all the mistakes that they would make themselves. As much as they think Google and Facebook might help them, Google's objectives, Facebook's objectives are primarily to their shareholders. They will recommend things that maybe work great if you're a Fortune 100 or Fortune 500 company. But if you're a small mom and pop shop or whatever, you need to understand at that level what sort of steps you need to be taking. Some of the recommendations that they make to you will be really harmful to your overall success. And I've always maintained, like most of the clients I work with, literally, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, within the first 20 minutes of working with them, I can find five or six things they're doing really badly wrong right now, right, that I could fix immediately that would pretty much put them on a much better playing field moving forward, no matter what I charge them, even including my fee into that arrangement, right? It'll be so much better for them as a result. And it just comes back to people just need to feel confident that they've got the right person, which is why, generally speaking, I never have to go looking for work. The work always finds me by virtue of the fact that I do good work for clients. They talk to their friends and peer groups and what have you, and then my phone rings. And I can be selective. If it's a good personality fit, then I will work with people, even if they're outside of my ICP, because I'm in a luxurious position now of being able to make those sorts of choices, right? Because I've done the hard yards to get to that point. Whereas if you're starting out, you may feel more inclined to kind of work with everyone to begin with. And if you do, again, don't get me wrong, if you do decide that you're going to work with everyone, just know that at some point in time that will bite you and you'll need to reset the kind of the table at that point. And it could be you end up having to fire a bunch of clients because they're not a good fit for you, right? Or you may need to hire a lot more resource in to manage it. There'll always be scope creep. So people will expect this amount of work done, and then they'll be, can you do this? Can you do this? And before you're doing three times as much work for the same money. And that's always one of those things I always say, like when somebody says, can you do this? I say, what would you like me not to do if we're going to incorporate it in the current fee agreement? So I send you a weekly report. We do a kind of weekly call. Which one of those don't you want to do to enable me to do this other thing that you're asking me to do? And they can either agree to stop doing something, right? Or they can agree to pay more money.
That's genius. Jim, this has been so informative and so fabulous. We thank you for being here. But tell everyone who's listening, because I know they're thinking, how am I going to get a hold of him? Because I need his expertise. So what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Yeah. So again, because I've been lucky to be in this industry for a long time, I'm the at Jim Banks on virtually every platform that exists. So Twitter, Instagram, right? There is a politician who's got the same name as me. He's a senator, I think, from Indiana. And I get all of his hate tweets. But my DMs are open on Instagram, on Twitter, or X, as it's called now. Again, generally speaking, if you go Jim Banks Digital Marketing, you'll find me.
Perfect.
That's fantastic. Again, Jim, thank you so much for coming and sharing your 25 years of expertise. It clearly shows, and I'm sure the companies that you work for so appreciate your expertise and your help in helping them grow. So thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me to come and talk to you and your amazing audience today.
Thanks for listening to the Six Figure Business Mastery Podcast. If you enjoyed listening to this episode and you are ready to leverage video marketing on all online platforms, or maybe even start your own video podcast, then you need to check out the Done For You and Done With You program at themarketingvaadvantage.com and take your business to the next level.